Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Brazola, working with the New Shadow on December 22nd. I guess it's too cold to march the scaffold, which is our usual thing. It's an interesting day today. Here's a little bit of unusual history. 1775, the Continental Navy was started. Of course, it's developed into one of the world's most formidable fighting forces, despite all the problems, and it's still, a lot of people don't know this, but other navies, such as the French, have wine on their ships, the British have their ration of rum, but American ships are dry. I understand there may be near beer. Of course, that's why the guys, the sailors, when they go on shore leave or on liberty, get a little loaded there. Can't blame them. But if it weren't for them and the Marines and all the other people who serve, including the Coast Guard, the Air Force, and even our National Guard, I wouldn't be speaking to you freely, and you wouldn't be free today. It's an interesting day in French judicial history and military history. This was a day in 1894 when Captain Alfred Dreyfus was convicted of treason in a kangaroo court case, primarily military court-martial, where he was falsely accused of selling military secrets to the Germans, the secrets to new French artillery. French were famous, and still are, for their expertise in light field pieces, as compared to the Germans, which developed heavy artillery, such as Big Bertha, which could level whole blocks, and which they used to bombard Paris. And, of course, the mortars, which they used to try to level Kiev and St. Petersburg and Leningrad, as it was known then. And he ended up 9 years fighting for his freedom. Ended up on Devil's Island, which is part of Guyana, which, interestingly, has a connection to San Francisco and Jim Jones, where this renegade preacher lured all these people to that island and then manipulated them, abused them, and then coerced them into mass suicide, drinking Kool-Aid. Excuse me. So, and then there's also a link to San Francisco. If you go to our video website, YouTube, The New Shadow, or YouTube, Amicus Veritas, AmiCusVeritas, there is a picture of that cannon, which is connected to the Captain Alfred Dreyfus case, and it's in the San Francisco Museum here, and it's some work that we have done. It's a little publicized. Interestingly, another, for those of you who love music, it's the birthday of Giacomo Puccini. Those of you who like Madame Butterfly, Tosca, and the great Turandot, he was born in 1858. And he was quite a man. He loved women, drinking, good times. And he didn't finish Turandot. But usually the opera companies around the world are very fond of giving us the war horses of Madame Butterfly, Tosca, Manon Lescaut, for all you culture buffs out there. And in 1912, Lady Bird Johnson, Claudia Alter Taylor, was born in Texas. And her big thing trying to handle, besides trying to handle her husband, Lyndon, was beautification of America and getting rid of a lot of these billboards on the highways of the states. My stepmother knew her. And in 1944, during the Battle of the Bulge, the famous General McAuliffe was besieged by the German panzers and remnants of Hitler's military stroke to try to break the Allies in the Battle of the Bulge and seize the ports of in Brussels in Belgium, where the Allies were getting their military supplies, oil, and things that an army marches on and needs for to keep going and to fight a war. And General McAuliffe, when he got the request or demand from the German general, I forgot his name, McAuliffe replied in one word, nuts, and of course there's no translation in German for the word nuts. And the great General Patton, one of my favorite generals, replied he was sent up to relieve Bastogne and on that single road. And if you can see the General Patton story, you can see his exploits in one of the coldest winters to strike Europe that year, 1944. And he said, a guy who's that eloquent has to be saved, something like that. And anyway, had the Germans seized Bastogne, they could have prolonged the war and have been a lot more American casualties and Allied casualties. And today is the birthday of some interesting people. Ralph Fiennes, the Fiennes, the Irish actor, I think he became a U.S. citizen. And then those of you who follow the exploits of the U.S. Speaker of the House of Representatives, Jim Wright, who had his own scandals. He was after, I think, Carl Alpert, who got drunk and was chasing this woman around a fountain, Fanny Fox, I think that was her name. At least it was a woman. It wasn't a boy. And Jim Wright was hustling a book, or was some shakedown he was involved in, some political scandal, Democrat. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi has not learned the lessons from her predecessors about how to behave themselves, how to watch their mouths, and not to engage in all this political corruption, and to think that because she's a woman that she can get away with this. Not so. Also, it's the birthday of Frank Kellogg, not the guy who started Kellogg cereals up in Battle Creek, Michigan, which incidentally is where General Custer was born, where he was from. But Frank Kellogg was the Secretary of State during the Harding and Coolidge administration, and he started one of America's first national or international disarmament conferences, known as the Kellogg-Briand Act. Briand, I can't pronounce his first name, starts with an Astrid, or Briard was the French foreign minister, and they got together in Washington to try to limit the size of navies. And it was a formula that came up. The United States, Britain could have five ships to, I think it was three of the French and the Italians, and the Japanese were allowed to have one were supposed to have one under this naval disarmament agreement, and the Japanese, of course, resented that because they were a burgeoning naval power, having won in 1905 the Battle of the Tsushima Straits against the Russians, and of course, probably the most famous American correspondent of modern times covered that war, Jack London, who was also born in San Francisco. We'll put up his birthplace. Very interesting. And he also had a place called Valley of the Moon where he started a winery, and it's expensive but very good wines. So it's a lot of connections and links throughout history to places here in the States and in the United States. let's see, who else? What else happened today? Oh, yes, General Sherman sent a message to President Lincoln, and he said, for Christmas, I'm giving you the city of Savannah, which he destroyed in his march to wreak havoc through the South and to capture and burn Atlanta. And there are still some Daughters of the Confederacy who haven't forgiven those damn Yankees. If anybody wants to call in, it's 1-347-633-9620. You can also go to, we archive everything, so you can listen when you can or when you want. at your leisure, excuse me, slight cold. And we try to keep everything archived. So if you and we would invite you if you have questions or suggestions. We've got some interesting guests coming up. A man who is one of the unsung and very fine artists here in San Francisco. We'll have him. I just talked to him today. Excuse me. And then we'll have some of our Australian, New Zealand, and Canadian politicians and medical people. And then in a few minutes, we will have, believe it or not, with all this talk about free veterinary care, would you believe that there is or was free veterinary care in Cuba? Let's run that right now. Hang on here. Here we go. Away we go, as Jackie Gleason says. Today in Cuba, do people have pets like gato, birds, you know?
Yes, in Cuba, in this moment, the people have some more animals. Cat, he have a dog,
bird.
The government then a different clinic for this animal.
So a person in Cuba can get veterinary care for his animal, for his small animal, like shots, worms. Is that available in Cuba today?
In Cuba, we have small animal. The people have small animal. All small animals are vaccinated against the different disease, rabies, distemper. It's a country that is free of the different disease that can be transmitted to the human being.
Oh, so zoonotic diseases, you're worried about that in Cuba? Zoonosis?
In Cuba, we have development in zoonosis during long time. There is a department in control against the different diseases.
Now, in large, your specialty is large animals, right, Doc?
I work, always work in large animals.
So that's like cows and that sort of thing?
I work in the different diseases of cow, cattle. Cow, cattle.
Cattle, yeah. Call the same
holy
all
cow,
over.
Cow,
holy cow.
Cow.
Oh, holy cow. Okay. Are there a lot of problems with cattle in Cuba today? Do you have a lot of disease problems, agricultural problems?
All the different diseases we have in Cuba are declared to the international offices of disease in Paris. We have the same disease that in the United States. We have a contagious disease. We have not.
No hoof and mouth?
No, we haven't.
Oh, hey, come back here. Oh, what? That was a short interview, and all that noise you heard in the background, this was at an international conference. Very interesting. This was a black veterinarian. I misplaced his name, but anyway, he was shadowed. No pun intended about the new shadow. He was shadowed by what I looked to me, and this happened twice at this conference, shadowed by a security agent, a kind of a KGB and NKVD, the old KGB name. And I had a similar experience with the Russian Minister of Veterinary Medicine. He kept saying, you know, he's lying. That, when I tried to interview him, he said, no, I no speak English, translator. And then about 6 months later, when I got back to the States, he sent me a letter in very good English answering the questions. I did ask him a provocative question about the Afghan hound dog in Russia. And, of course, that was a sensitive subject at that time, but and it still is for the Soviets or the Russian officials. I had later met, several years later, I met a young Russian soldier, a veteran, who had served in Afghanistan and was very happy to get out intact. Some of the things that they did, and this will come up Some people are asking this question about Obamacare or Reid Care or Pelosi Care, whatever the hell it's going to be called, or Nelson Care. Electives, some of them are controversial. But what the Muslims or the Islamists used to do, and this goes back through their history, especially in the Crusades and when the British were waging campaigns in India and the Northwest frontier, what they would do if they were captured, Christians were considered infidels. And what they would do was they would strip them naked, and if they weren't circumcised, they would give them a partial circumcision, and that is one of the origins of the phrase Christian dog. And this was, of course, designed to humiliate them. In North Africa, when the Arab women would capture a French soldier or a legionnaire, they did horrible things, and I'm not going to get into a very specific description, but they did similar things to soldiers who happened to fall in their hands. And the Arab women were, the Islamist women were particularly brutal, and that was a fate that no soldier wanted to experience or endure, and he certainly wouldn't live after falling into their brutal hands. But these are some of the things that happened in history. You don't hear too much about it, but it is there. And there was a case in the Northwest frontier between Afghanistan and what is today Pakistan. Pakistan's only about 50 years old, where a whole battalion and its commander had been captured by this Islamic warrior. And he had these big black Somali guards, and they inflicted horrible abuses on the captain, the commander, I think it was a colonel, and his battalion. I'll get more specifics on that, on the date and the particular regiment. But these are things that used to go on. Now, getting back to how this relates to Reid Care or Obamacare or whatever, there are those people here, what I call the Lavender Left, who some of them want special medical treatment for sex change operations or transgendered operations. Also, I don't understand it. There is an element in this in our societies that want, quote, foreskin restoral, to restore the skin after being circumcised as a baby. And, you know, who's going to pay for that? And it's crazy, and it's just painful even to think about it. But these are some of the things. Fortunately, it's only a limited number of people. Also, they want the Veterans Administration, and they've said this, and I've got it up on my YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, where here in San Francisco, that some veterans who decided that they were going to be homosexual political activists, they are asking or have asked for the Veterans Administration to give them a sex change operation. So far, no go. But these are some of the things have gone on, and we don't know because they didn't have the open hearings, they didn't put it on C-SPAN. Nobody knows, few people know what's in that, 2,000-page proposed legislation. The Senate will probably pass it, but whether in the House, in the conference between the two branches of government, Pelosi's representatives and Reid's senators, whether they agree to some of these things, nobody knows. But the questions have been asked, and they should be asked, because veterans in particular complained if they cannot get the medical care that they were entitled to because they served honorably, and that was part of the contract, that they would have medical care for life. At least that's what they thought. And it hasn't happened, and particularly with veterans who are suffering from post-traumatic stress. We had a case here, the Clyde Woods case, which I worked on briefly, a U.S. Marine who suffered from post-traumatic stress. He was attacked in North Beach, and he was arrested and was abused in San Francisco's city prison or jail. And he had a public defender who was a political hack. And he was sentenced without his lawyer being present by one of the corrupt judges, a woman from Tennessee named Baxter, wannabe socialite. And she was also in the Steve Neri case, which is related. She sentenced him to Atascadero State Hospital, and we couldn't find out anything after that, whether he's still there or what. But he complained. We did what we could. But, of course, the morons in the media, they will not cover these stories. Here's another interesting thing, and since I'm on the morons in the media. There is a report that a federal judge in the New Orleans, on the New Orleans court, I think that's the Fifth Circuit, if I'm not mistaken, is on trial for alleged bribery, conspiracy, racketeering, and all that. I think his name is Pontius or whatever, probably Creole. Anyway, I don't know, people around the country, whether your local papers are carrying these judicial corruption cases. But in San Francisco and in the Bay Area, the papers do not carry. For instance, we had a case in San Diego County, federal case, involving the local judge, Mr. Frega, and a bunch of lawyers taking bribes and rigging cases. They were convicted, but you won't find anything if you go to the archives of the San Francisco Chronicle, the Bay Guardian, or any of those papers on that particular notorious case. And, of course, only the San Francisco New Examiner, no longer a Hearst paper, this came up yesterday, this judge, and he'll probably be convicted. Another interesting factor is Harry Reid is from a town in Nevada called Searchlight, which has come up in this homosexual video scandal, which surfaced in the Steve Neri case. So the people involved in prosecuting him were also involved in promoting male prostitution in Nambla. But there have been very few federal judges who have been indicted, prosecuted, and removed or forced to retire from the federal bench. One of them was a guy named Walter Nixon recently, well, I'd say in the last 10 years. I don't believe he was related to former President Nixon of the Nixon family. But he was convicted of corruption and removed from the federal bench in the federal district in Nevada. So I don't know if Harry Reid had anything to do with that, with all the other scandals swirling around him and the deals that they made with people like Nelson. It's going to be very interesting how he's treated when he goes back to Nebraska. Oh, for those of you who travel, this came up today. It's an interesting piece of information. When President Eisenhower started the interstate highway system after he came back from Europe because of the auto, he'd seen how effective the autobahn system was in Germany. He started, and when he became president in 1953, started the interstate highway program. The first stretch and one of the longest stretches of the interstate highway is in Nebraska. Those of you who traveled, I think it's 80, once you usually come through Omaha, and then it's about 3 hours, I think, to Lincoln, which is the capital of Nebraska, and then it's another 3-4 hours to Fort Sterling, the other side of the state. And, of course, there's nothing. It's called the Cornhusker State. Of course, there's a derogatory name given to Nelson after what he pulled. But what people should, you know, it's just an interesting history that that was the first state to fully complete their stretch of the interstate highway system. So it's an interesting information about the interstate highway system, and it's really a great system. I wouldn't want to be on it now in this weather. People have died out there when there have been blizzards and snow, and unless you're a skier or you're a polar bear at heart. But that's interesting, and of course it's a highway that's well maintained, but of course it's not a scenic because Nebraska is flat. Great football team, the Cornhuskers. Now another thing is, we will be, as soon as we can figure out, the software is giving me no end of trouble, but a lawyer was busted here in San Francisco, politically connected, so he thought. He passed a $100 bill or a $50 bill at a Walgreens, and the clerk thought it was counterfeit, and she called the cops. And the lawyer, in well-intentioned and not dishonest in this respect, his politics or something else, did not know and certainly claimed that he was not trying to pass a counterfeit currency. He was arrested, and then it was proven that the currency was genuine. Well, he's suing in the Ninth Circuit Federal Court. Well, there is a device, and some of you may know this, there's a device where you can use, and some of the clerks use these. It's a pen device. I'll show it when I can get it up on my YouTube site, YouTube Amicus Veritas, where you run it across any bill, whether it's a one, of course they're not counterfeiting ones, it's not worth it, or any bill, any currency, and if it's genuine, a streak will show up. The dog's just commenting. So bets out there, and we'll try to get you more specifics on that and whatever the outcome of this case. The other thing is, we've stopped our Saturday shows because it's too much stress. Forgive me, the dog is barking, and it's almost time. The show's almost over. But here's some other things. Those of you who have extra money or pet food, yes, be quiet. Try to help people who have homeless pets. There are organizations that do collect kibble and dog food and cat food for people. There are people, believe it or not, who have cats on leashes. So they could use your help this holiday. Also, remember your garbage man. You know, your garbage man knows more about you. Your garbage man and your mailman knows more about you than the cop on the beat. So remember them this Christmas, and also your mailman who's carrying, or mail lady who's carrying all this mail. And remember the other carriers that deliver stuff to you if they do it on a regular basis. And we'll resume on Thursday. We'll have everything you wanted to, some of the things you wanted to know but didn't know where to look or who to ask about 007 and Ian Fleming and Sean Connery and Miss Moneypenny. Some fascinating information has just come up. So that'll be on Thursday, Christmas Eve, unless my dog bites me to death here. I don't know how he got in here. Forgive us for this intrusion. He's not going to get any kibble tonight. He's not going to get any steak. But anyway, that'll be on Thursday, and then Tuesday. Now, coming up in January, we are going to have our special salute to Australia and New Zealand and some of the interviews I did down there, such as the Birdman of Perry Prison. That's one of the first prisons in the world to allow birds and fish, as the inmates, to have them as a means of releasing tension and stress, and also as a means of social control. When they misbehave, they get their birds and fish taken away. And I did an interview down there, first journalist from any country, even New Zealand, to be allowed to go into the prison and talk to the warden, interview the warden and the prisoners and people in New Zealand. I had tried to get the California Department of Corrections to start this program over 20 years ago, and we'll get into more of that. So I want to thank you people for bearing with and this unexpected audience. made some comments there. I don't know how I got in here. Excuse me. So tune in Thursday, and we'll end with this. Where is it?
Say, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of Jack B or Jack Y?
I say, neither one. I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of Jack,
thank you, and tune in Thursday. This is Peter Paul Brizola working with the New Shadow. Thank you for listening. Fozzy, I am going to kill you. I'm going up. Hang on.